pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Happy Wednesday to you. 7 minutes after the hour. Thank you so much for listening on this Wednesday morning. Still to come on the program, U.S. Senate hopeful Katie Britt joins us. That's about a half hour from now. Stick around for that. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. We'll take a look at your text and respond accordingly. If you want to weigh in on anything we are discussing, or maybe we aren't discussing it, and it's a gross oversight on my part, and you would like to bring it to my attention. Anyway, it's 251-343-0106. Join us now on the line. Very pleased to bring on from Russellville. It's to have him on regularly up in Huntsville, but I get him on occasionally down here in Mobile. State Representative Jamie Keel on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate it. Let's get right into it. A resolution yesterday regarding University of North Alabama student that maybe had an ill-advised, at worst, social media post stating his position on homosexuality or whatever, and the backlash. To me, he has since apologized for it, but the backlash seems to be a little disproportionate. You guys in the House have passed a resolution backing this guy, but I think it's important to lay down a marker to say, you know, that in higher education, that we don't need to play favorites, and we know that sometimes higher education as a whole will maybe play favorites with a more left of center philosophy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the post that he made was on his personal Instagram post. You know, it's his First Amendment right, your First Amendment right to use your social media and to post on it. And it was a very simple post. It was a picture of a shirt that had a rainbow on it. And at the top of the shirt, it said, "Born this way?" question mark. And at the bottom, it said, "You must be born again." Well, Jake is a Christian, and that's the traditional biblical view of that Christianity holds, and that's his view, and he has the right to express that view as a citizen. You know, there's a reason that the original framers of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, the very first amendment of that Constitution was the freedom of religion and the freedom of free speech, and Jake does not give that up just because he becomes SGA president.
I mean, that's the confusion here, and I don't know where this notion comes from, but the argument the guys that want him to step aside say, well, he is supposed to represent everybody and not just his own view. Sure, he could have his First Amendment rights, but by representing himself in such a way, he must resign. That's not how the real world works. People get elected to public office and have maybe political views that aren't as maybe you get surprised every now and then, but I guess the election here, I mean, the lesson here is the elections have consequences.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, I got elected in my district by people who, I guess, share the same views as me. But just because they elected me does not mean that I don't represent everyone here. I've helped, I guess, hundreds or thousands of people through COVID and the different challenges that came with that, unemployment issues. I didn't ask if they shared my political or religious view before I helped them with those issues. And that's the way politics works. You get elected by the folks who share your views. And then once you're in office, you know, you don't lose your view. However, you still represent the people that are in your particular district or area or whatever it might be.
Well, do you think, though, that it's important for Republicans or some gesture from the legislature to say, look, you got to respect these beliefs because these are public institutions. You know, I know tuition pays a lot of it, but that doesn't matter that maybe they're self-sustaining in some ways, that they are still public institutions. And, you know, with the culture wars going on and the moving of the goalposts and what's acceptable and what isn't, that indeed you need to say, hey, look, we need to keep this in mind. You need to make sure these guys are, you know, they get to, they're afforded the same rights as everybody should be.
Well, first of all, the public universities are far from self-sustaining. You can check our state budget and find out how much taxpayer money goes to the universities. So, because they are taxpayer funded, you know, we owe it to our taxpayers that the First Amendment is protected there. And so when I saw that, what appeared to me was that the canceling of Jake Statham, the SGA president at UNA, when I saw that happening, you know, I wanted to make sure that didn't happen to a 19 or 20 year old young man who might feel the pressure to resign and to be quote canceled as it's called now. And so when I saw that, I contacted our caucus, our Republican caucus in Montgomery, and everyone, I mean, it was overwhelmingly in support of doing a resolution. And that's what we did as a House caucus to, I guess, to shine a light. I mean, because we do represent a lot of folks, and our voice can be heard over, you know, an SGA president at a local university.
Yeah, but I guess the culture on these college campuses is what it is. We don't think of it in terms of Alabama necessarily, because you think Alabama is a conservative state. But yeah, this is stuff that goes on at Berkeley or in Ivy League schools, or even like, you know, even public schools like Syracuse or Michigan or whatever. But it does seem we need to be on guard for this. Any kind of efforts to indoctrinate. I mean, granted, schools. These higher institutions of learning are left of center. Just that's just how they are traditionally and historically. But when it comes to taking punitive action, as it seems to be in this case, it is important to make sure that you're not getting any pressure from the administration, I should say.
Well, and he has not. The only statement that UNA has made about the issue is that although they support diversity and inclusion, that they also support First Amendment, and that's his views, and they're not going to be involved in removing him from office. However, I mean, it's like you said, it is common amongst universities in general that they are left of center. At least the vocal ones are. But what I found out is you've got the vocal few that their voice is louder than the majority. And so I think if Jake were reelected, and we got to keep in mind, he didn't hide his Christianity when he ran 6 months ago for SGA president. Everybody knew who Jake was. They know he's a Christian. I mean, there was nothing hidden there. And I think if the election happened again today, if there were a recall election, I think he'd win again. And so I think it's a vocal minority that gets most of the attention. And many times universities bow to that. And come up with, with different methods and projects that make it appear that the overall majority of the university support those causes. It's just not true.
I mean, I've had my run when I was a young bomb throwing right wing college student, editor of the college newspaper, the University of South Alabama. I had my run ins oftentimes with the administration or with faculty that didn't see eye to eye with me politically. But I was always told this, that if the school itself attempted to do anything to hinder your right to say whatever you needed to say or do whatever you needed to do in your newspaper, that they are an extension of the government. The University of North Alabama would be an extension of the government. And if they were to act, they would indeed be violating the First Amendment, because it's a public school, it's a public institution. So there are some, I think, serious legal considerations there. And I know the school said that it's not going to intervene here, but that needs to be ironclad, right? It needs to be recognized, and not just at UNA, but I think it's something that you got to be on watch for around the state at the different schools.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. I've been in contact with the university. I've talked with President Kitts and also their government relations folks just to make sure that, you know, that they keep in mind the big picture here, that they are located not all universities are like this, but our university is in a very conservative area, and they draw from a very conservative base of people. And so there is the First Amendment that is enough to keep them from intervening. But just from purely a marketing standpoint and a public relations standpoint, our six Lauderdale County legislators are probably among the most conservative in the state. And the reason we are elected is because our constituents are conservative, and they're taxpayers. They're the ones that send their children to that school. And so, you know, I think UNA particularly, you know, has to keep in mind their location and who they serve. And then generally for other universities, I mean, like we said to begin with, they depend heavily on taxpayer dollars, and the First Amendment cannot be infringed on those campuses. Whether you agree with it or not, whether it's a Christian being canceled or someone with some liberal viewpoint that's being canceled, either way, it cannot happen.
Yeah, and you know, that's the hot topic right now with K through 12 and this push for critical race theory, that people are starting to be, I think the public is very concerned about what's going on in their public schools. The counter to that is, well, you're not the experts, and some in the media and some in higher education say this to you guys in the legislature as well. You're not the expert on this stuff. You need to leave education up to us. We're the experts. We should be in charge of policy. But that's not really, that system doesn't, that's not how it's supposed to be. You guys are given the constitutional duty to be stewards of the tax dollars. You do the education trust fund every year and vote for it. You do have a role in what is being taught, or at least a say, or you know, in what's being taught in public schools in Alabama.
Well, look, my wife's a teacher. She's an educator. My mom and dad were both educators. I understand educators. I understand their profession. I know that they are experts in their field. And when it comes to teaching children and teaching young men and women, you know, they need to do their thing. They're the professionals at it. But when it does come to state tax dollars being used for something that's not teaching math, reading, and science, when we're teaching social issues and teaching, you know, woke ideas, that's not permissible. It's not permissible in Alabama when overwhelmingly Alabamians do not support or approve of critical race theory, and it's their tax dollars that are being used to teach these ideas. And so I'm very happy that there are a couple of bills that have been introduced already that will deal with it not only in our schools but also in state government at large, so that our tax dollars won't be used to further these type of social causes.
How much you hear from constituents about this stuff? I find it varies all over the state, depending on where you are. But it does seem to be, you know, what we're seeing on TV and play out in the national media, we're told, well, that is not really a phenomenon that is, you know, that includes Alabama. I would argue otherwise. But do you seem to hear from constituents that are concerned about some of this cultural stuff going on in our education system?
Well, now more than ever. I work my day job. I own a business, a retail business, and I had a random customer walk in yesterday, and as he was checking out, he asked me about CRT, and it took me back a little bit, because in the, you know, I'm sitting there helping the guy check out his purchase, and he asked me about CRT, and I said, are you talking about critical race theory? It took me a second to realize that the general public is catching on to what's going on, and they're concerned about it. They don't want their tax dollars going to it. They don't want their kids taught it in school, and, you know, I think that a year ago, it was not as widely recognized and as widely understood as it is now, but I think the general population is starting to catch on. And in the next year, I think they really will once we start dealing with it in the legislature.
Representative, we got to leave it there, but thank you for taking the time out this morning and talking about these things and talking this over.
It's been a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
As State Representative Jamie Keel on the line there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Highwayman again.